All right, welcome back, everybody. We are on the phone with one of my favorite growers of all time out there, the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, is with us. Ed, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure to be with you.
You know, the new book, I've got it right here in my hands. It's called Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hashing, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicines. And what a timely book, because this is the new thing. Everybody's talking about dabbing and vaping and hash, and there's a lot of scaremongering about it, and there's a lot of great stories about it. Give us your take on Beyond Buds and why this book is so important.
This book is important because this concentrates that as a whole play a major part in the market, and it's a growing part, and people want to know about them, both how to make them, how to use them, and I think that it's better for people to be using concentrates such as the ones that are out now than just smoking marijuana, because there's less impurities that get to people, and they don't have to take as much energy to their lungs to get the substance.
Hmm. Do you think, Ed, that, you know, someday guys like you and me, guys our age, are going to be kind of the old school where we used to smoke flowers, and there'll be a time when everybody's just using concentrates?
I think there'll always be room for using smoking a spliff or a pipe, and I think part of the reason why people have gone to concentrates is because the quality of marijuana has changed. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about so much about that the THC has gone up or the CBD is now taken into account, but that there used to be marijuana used to be a lot more fragrant, so it was really a pleasure to smoke a joint. And I think that over the years, as people have bred for THC, they've forgotten about the terpenes, the odor molecules. And Russ, you've been around for a while. Remember a time when you might open a bag of pot and the whole room would smell up, and you close the bag and you try to air the room out, and it takes a while to air it out?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't had that recently, right?
Not a lot. I did find a strain called Jasmine, and I was really turned on by its terpene and its smell and everything about it. Even though it was testing out at, you know, 10% less THC than some of the stuff was available, I found it much more enjoyable.
Right, and I actually experienced it up in Canada. This fellow from Montreal handed me a joint, and I usually people say, how do you like it? And I say, it's pretty good. But this guy, I turned to him, I said, this is excellent. I don't usually do that. I said, would you roll one for me to take with me? I mean, I don't usually do that kind of thing, but it was so good. And that, when that kind of weed comes back, you're going to have more people smoking it for the pleasure of it.
Yeah, and I think that's a function as we reduce the criminal penalties and start, you know, legalization out here, that we get these varieties, and not everybody's trying to get the Everclear of weed. We can have a Chardonnay, we can have a beer, we can have something that's lighter but possibly more tasty and enjoyable.
Well, that's true, but there's no reason not to have both as well. So
there you go.
And also, I think that dabbing also lets you. Another thing is that dabbing also lets you decide how much you're going to have, a lot, because with smoking it takes a while, and dabbing is faster.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, we're living in a faster world.
No doubt about that. We're speaking with Ed Rosenthal, who's the author, along with David Downs, of Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicine. Ed's the guy you trust on all of the marijuana books. Now he's telling you all about extracts. And in here, you're going to learn about dry sift, water hash, BHO, butane hash oil, CO2, the carbon dioxide extractions. What would you like to say about these different methods? I know there's a lot of concern in the community about the explosive nature of BHO. A lot of people are turning to CO2. What's your take on all that?
I think that that for the most part, as a consumer, I would leave the production to professionals, and even though they're home kits and so on, I actually think that that it's much safer to get that material from people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, there's the states
that's
are.
That's ultimately now people are going to do it, and there are CO2. Kits, for instance, Eden Labs and others have them, and they all work. And but they're more of an investment. You know, it's the equivalent of setting up a grow room in terms of an investment. So, or more. So you really have to, in order to get a good rig, you're going to pay. You know, it's going to. You really have to be, you know. Unless you can afford expensive hobbies, it's going to be you're going to have to want to really be into it in order for it to pay for itself.
Good point. And, you know, another aspect of dab culture that sometimes raises eyebrows is the dab rig, the blowtorch, the kind of the scary optics of that. What do you got in this book as far as teaching people about the different ways to be able to use concentrates?
Well, we talk about vape pens and all kinds of different dabbing devices, and I think dabbing is going to evolve from torches to electric devices. Whether we're talking about the dab rig or a vape pen, you know, all of those are based on electricity, and so I mean, if you have an electric dab rig, and that's, you know, it doesn't have that kind of weird cultish look that you know that heating a dab with a torch does. So, you know, it's just plugged in and it's ready to go.
Yeah, it's so amazingly convenient.
Yes.
Another aspect of this, Jacob Lavaro in Texas is this young man who got busted for making pot brownies, but he made them with hash oil. And under Texas law, hash is different than pot. And he had faced life in prison because of this. What are the reasons why someone would want to make edibles using hash oil or hash rather than making the old fashioned way with decarboxylated bud?
Less taste.
Yeah.
You know, less taste of grass. It's a convenient, you know, some of the best cookies that I ever had were made where the person used grass as part of the flour constituent, you know, first. So I'm not putting down using grass itself in there, but if you want less taste and a sort of a more sophisticated edible, then you're going to try to get a pure THC or CBD.
I see. And, you know, it warms my heart to hear someone call it grass, Ed. I love that.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. His new book is Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicine, co-written with the excellent David Downs, who's a producer of the Hash podcast and writes out there for a lot of different outlets. Another question I wanted to get to, Ed, is, you know,
I just want to mention that it was a pleasure working with David.
Oh, yeah. He's yes. Fantastic. And
yes.
Another question I wanted to get to is, as we are evolving in our laws here, of course, Oregon's trying to pass legalization, Alaska's trying to pass, Washington's going to pass it, D.C., without sales. You've been working on something called a Marijuana User's Bill of Rights as maybe a template or a guideline for how we should go about legalizing. Tell folks a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we've had a number of different regimes of of legalization. There's a faux or fake legalization in Washington in which everything's illegal except buying an ounce or less and possessing that. But if you buy an ounce and a half, then you're then it's a misdemeanor. And if you buy 2 ounces, it's a felony. And so's cultivation and a whole host of other things. And then they have that DUI thing mm-hmm. up there. They're not enforcing it now, but the cops will get around to it. So, and then we have California's and Colorado and so on. And so I came up with what I thought was a basic Bill of Rights, and there are 7 points to it. And the first is to repeal in the bill, any initiative or bill, it should repeal all of the prior criminal penalties, and then they can be put back in, such as sales to minors or whatever, but it shouldn't be under the old regime. Then the second is that cannabis will be under civil authority rather than the police. You know, Russ, you know how the police have said that these laws are so confusing that they just don't understand them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had 20 or 30 or 40 or 70 years to do it, and they still can't get it right. So I think it's time to put it under civil authority. So if a person is growing 9 plants instead of 8, they don't face criminal penalties and things like that. And then also it means that all the cost of enforcement, such as courts, jails, using up police time, all of that will be over, and instead there'll be civil regulation, which will be cost effective for the state. It will bring money into the state. Then all residents will have the right to grow their own marijuana, and you know how different cities have tried to ban, cities and counties have tried to ban the cultivation outside mm-hmm. or inside or whatever. Everybody has a right to grow a plant.
Yes.
There should be no limit on it. When I say no limit on it, I don't mean that people should be able to grow their own. They don't, if they're going to sell some of it, then they have to have a business license. And then the next thing is that medical marijuana will be on a different track than adult use. And the idea about that is that it wouldn't be like California or Colorado's medical. It would be a much stricter medical, and these people would have, it would be pretty much tax-free, and it would be, and I think that dispensaries are going to have different, overlapping, but different medicines, different products,
mm-hmm.
than adult use places. For instance, there'll be a lot more CBD products or products with specific terpenes in them that have medical value.
Sure.
And so some of those products might also appear in the adult use store, but a lot of them will really, you know, will just be a different track.
Sure.
So then the next is that adult use stores will be allowed on a county-by-county and city-by-city basis. But in California, we have initiatives and local initiatives so that in California, to put one of these in place, it would have to be by a vote of the people.
Gotcha.
So it couldn't be these county commissioners who are in bed with the police or whatever. And then the next thing is that manufacturing processing, getting a license to do that will not be limited, should not be limited in the way that, for instance, it is in Nevada, even though they're giving out many licenses for either cultivation or processing and things. I think it should be that if you have a store, if you zone properly and have the proper, you know, pass of food processing or whatever regulations there are for foods or whatever you're processing, then it's pretty much automatic that you get a license. And that would be sort of like if you pass a driver's test and then you get your license. By the way, I haven't gone into this, but I do believe that recreational use can be highly taxed. I'm not opposed to that because we have high taxes on a lot of recreational things, and especially when people have the right to grow their own. You know,
right.
So
okay, yeah, as long as that home grow right's there, sure.
There's one last, and that is that adult use shall be permitted in private spaces with the owner's consent. So, for instance, if you're in a theater, you know, a party, and the owner and you know the person who has control of the space says, yeah, you can smoke. It's not then it's not the state's duty. Maybe not smoke, but at least vaporize. You know, there might be laws against general laws against smoking. So, at least vaporizing. And then there's one other part, which is that it should also be removed from the State Controlled Substances Act, and that's so CPS, Child Protective Services, won't have that as a cause.
Yeah, good thinking on that one. I wonder, you know, you mentioned putting medical marijuana on its own separate track and then also possibly highly taxing recreational marijuana. Wouldn't that create an incentive for people to try to cheat and get medical to avoid taxes?
Well, in California right now, it's pretty easy to get, you know, to get a medical card. And this would be a different kind of medical card.
Ah, okay.
I mean, it would be, you know, we're talking about serious illnesses, and it would be a sign-off by your primary physician.
More East Coast style.
So that people could have, there might be two classes. I mean, we're just talking, this isn't something that I'm solid on, but there might be two classes of medical, so that you could go to a dispensary and pay a tax, or if you have more serious illness and you have a different kind of prescription, then it's tax-free. And that would be like the difference between over-the-counter drugs and prescription drugs. For instance, in California, there's no tax on prescription drugs, but if you buy aspirin over-the-counter, then there's a tax on it.
Gotcha. All right. The book is Beyond Buds, Marijuana Extracts, Hash, Vaping, Dabbing, Edibles, and Medicines by Ed Rosenthal. The Marijuana Bill of Rights, also User's Bill of Rights, is available at edrosenthal.com. This book comes to us through Quick Trading Publishing, or Quick American Publishing, at quicktrading.com. Last word, Ed, anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Fight for your rights.
Right on. Thank you, Ed Rosenthal, Guru of Ganja, for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
All right.